Welcome back inside the Biloxi Shuckers pregame show. Shuckers get set for game three of their series against the M-Braves, 6:35 first pitch as we welcome you now inside today's pregame interview. I'm Javik Blake, and we're joined by a guy who's been newly turned into a reliever, Nick Bennett.
Hey, how we doing? Happy to be here.
Good outing yesterday, and it's been a journey for you becoming a reliever. What has that journey been like, and what was it like yesterday to get through a great outing?
It's a lot of been ups and downs and kind of learning to maneuver how to be a reliever. I've been a starter my whole life up until this spring training when the Brewers did a great job of, you know, kind of walking me into this role and, you know, preparing me for it at spring training and then letting me get some work with it under my belt. And I think I've been learning a lot these first 4 or 5 weeks of baseball, and I definitely learned the hitters are ready to hit by the time I'm in the game. So that was something that does take a little bit getting used to. I was used to being able to, you know, kind of open up the repertoire and work into some things. And that's not really the case as a reliever. You kind of have to come out with your best stuff and attack right away. And I think I'm starting to get a little bit of a grasp for that.
And for those who aren't really familiar with the big difference between pitching as a starter and pitching reliever, you think, oh, it's just you're throwing the same pitches. Right. You have to have a different mindset of I have to throw my best stuff first instead of first time around, all right, we're going to game plan this way, right. Second time through, we're going to do this. Right. This is, all right, I got four pitches. They all got to be at 100% right. From bat one.
Right. So my slider is my best pitch, and what I've learned in these first 4 weeks is once I'm in the game, it's time to throw the slider because that's what works for me and kind of how I set hitters up and try to execute pitches that way. So I've learned very quickly. I had a really rough outing, my second outing out, and the pitch usage wasn't great in that outing, and it makes sense kind of why I got tapped around a little bit trying to establish a fastball when that's not really who I am as a reliever. And these hitters are ready to hit. They're trying to get their swing off. So it's been a little bit of an adjustment, but I'm starting to figure it out, I think.
We've talked a lot about the adjustment, but just as a reliever, what's been your favorite part of it so far?
I think my favorite part of it is I don't wake up the next day sore at all. I'm used to throwing five, six, seven innings, and the reliever role is really nice. I wake up and feel very refreshed the next day and ready to attack the day again. So I think that's been my favorite part about it so far.
Well, there we go. But back to your amateur baseball career, you had an incredible opportunity in high school to play at Art Bishop Mueller High School in Ohio, and then Louisville, where you played with Henry Davis, number one overall pick, Reed Detmers, and Brendan McKay. Brendan McKay's already in the bigs with the Rays. What was it like pitching with a Cardinal team that was just ridiculously filthy?
We went to Omaha twice, my freshman year and my junior year, and the goal in college baseball is to go to Omaha, and when you play baseball with guys like those, like Brendan McKay, Henry Davis, and Reed Detmers, your team usually has a decent chance of getting to the end goal. A lot of college baseball players don't even get to go to Omaha one time, and just the fact that we got to go twice, it definitely was, all three of those guys were huge contributions to all of those teams that went to Omaha. Having Henry behind the plate was fantastic, and when Reed was on the mound, you always knew what we were going to get, and then obviously having Brendan McKay hitting and pitching, doing it all, you knew what we were going to get from that guy too. So it was very special playing with those guys, and they were not just good baseball players, but they're great clubhouse guys too. Really, really nice guys and guys that, you know, mesh well with the team. And that's the other thing that I think was so great for us is our team was super well knitted and together. And I think that makes a difference as to why we went to Omaha twice.
What was it like, and what is it like playing at Omaha, TD Ameritrade Field, the mecca of college baseball? You can see it on TV, but to experience it in person as a player has to be a whole nother ballgame.
To this day, it is definitely the best baseball experience I've had. Now, I definitely have aspirations of playing in the big leagues and, you know, winning a World Series one day and playing playoff baseball, and I'll get to that one day, but you know, the college baseball scene, that is what everybody strives for, and obviously, Omaha, Nebraska is in a super big town, so when these teams come there, it is just all college baseball fans, and we saw some really crazy crowds with a lot of people and a lot of cameras all over the place. And it's also really cool because ESPN does a great job of broadcasting all of us and all the games to, you know, kind of spread the word of college baseball out there, because it does get left behind, I feel like, sometimes in the realm of college sports. You think of college football and college basketball, but college baseball is so up and coming, and there are just so many good, talented players in college baseball that makes it so fun.
Yeah, we talked to TJ Shook yesterday and talked about playing in the SEC in South Carolina. He talked about it's like playing against a team in high A or a team in double A. Sure. College baseball, one of the best things in the country going on. You know, it's sad that it kind of gets left behind with how much fun it is to watch. But one of the big things for anyone that's seen you on the mound this year is your glove.
Yeah.
It is teal and orange.
Yeah.
Why?
Last year I went with, or 2 years ago, when my mother was battling breast cancer, I had a pink glove to represent her out on the field whenever I was pitching, with some writing on it, just some words of encouragement when I would go out on the mound. And then last year I went with a mint green glove, and, you know, there's no rhyme or reason as to the glove colors. I'm kind of on the website designing the glove, and I like to have one glove that is a little bit more subtle, and then I like to have one that pops out a little bit. So this year I have a navy glove with some tan lacing, and then I obviously have the bright blue and orange, and a lot of the guys like it in the clubhouse too. It is a different colored glove. Most guys don't use gloves like that, but you know, I just think that goes with my imagination and just kind of, you know, having fun with the game of baseball a little bit.
Do you and Abner Uribe have a competition? Because I've heard of the rainbow glove. He's obviously got a crazy colored glove too. But is there a competition between you two of which can come up with the craziest? Yeah. Or is it a brainstorming session of what can we come up with to use?
You know, I actually have never spoke about our gloves with Uribe. But the great part about that is we both do have very similar colored gloves. And, you know, I just think that goes to speak about his personality as well and mine. And, you know, we like to have fun with what we're doing and, you know, like to be seen with what we're doing. And I think that's why we both chose colored gloves like that. And we love it.
Great minds think alike, right?
That's right. Great minds think alike.
Well, Nick, thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
This has been today's pregame interview, Shuckers and M Braves at 6:35.